Greetings, Tacoma. John Doherty here for KTAH 101.9's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, basically what's happening with the climate, if anything, and what to do about it, if anything, and always respectful. Why respectful? You know, full disclosure here, I'm 76 years old, and I've been interested in politics to one degree or the other for a lot of years, and I've never seen a time in our political history, at least in my lifetime, where things have been so partisan, hyper-partisan, really. We need to start listening to each other, and the only way we can do that is if we're respectful of the opinions of others. So I want to walk the walk myself. So if you have something that you disagree with that I say, or if you want to make a point and ask for me to put it on the air, I'll do that for you. Just send me an email to John, that's J-O-H-N, at cclTacoma.org. And further full disclosure, CCL stands for Citizens Climate Lobby, and I'm an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby working for a cleaner future, a healthier environment for myself, for everybody else, our kids and our grandkids, and the generations to follow. What we do right now about the climate is going to impact things on this earth for centuries to come. One of the most common questions I get is, what can I do? The answer to that, in my view, can be broken down into two parts. What I can do as an individual and what we can do in collaboration. Neither one of them alone is enough to get us where we need to be. So let's talk about what we can do as individuals here for just a second. I have a document, 100 plus ways that you can make a difference in terms of the climate. And by that is meant what you and I can do as individuals, choices that we can make with our lifestyle right here, right now, without having to wait for anybody else. Send me an email to john at cclTacoma.org. And I'll send you a link to that document. It's extensive, and really it's kind of fun to look through and see the ways you can reduce your carbon footprint, and at the same time, almost always in doing that, save some bucks too. And then there's the added benefit of feeling better about your pathway through life and what impact you're having for now and for future generations. The other part is about what we can do collaboratively, what we can do together. And that's really the challenge that we're facing, having the political will, not only as individuals and as a country, but as a world, as a species, also having the political will to create a livable world for the future. It would be an incredible understatement to say that this is a challenging prospect. This is probably the largest challenge, the most significant challenge that we've had to face as a species in the history of our existence on the earth. I am a student of a professor named Dan Ariely. He's a behavioral economist, a brilliant guy. Look for him on YouTube. I think you'd enjoy his talk. He talks about a lot of things in addition to climate change. Anyway, Dr. Ariely has said that if we were to design a problem that human beings were ill-equipped to deal with, that problem would be climate change. So it is a massive problem, and honestly, the outcome of how we manage it is very much in doubt because of the challenges that it presents. Now, talking about what causes climate change, and in particular, the warming of the earth, we're not going to talk about that today. We'll review it again some other time, but in the meantime, if you're curious, I encourage you to just do a Google on NASA climate change, and you'll find some good plain talk facts about what's going on with our climate, and this is from scientists that you can trust. These are the same guys that put rovers on the planet Mars and send back selfies and take pictures of objects thousands of miles out into space. They know what they're doing, they know what they're talking about, and they've got the data to back up what they say. As we know, one of the chief culprits in climate change is fossil fuel emissions. So any plan that's intended to reduce the impacts of climate change has to start with carbon dioxide emissions. So the $64,000 question is, how can we most effectively reduce our carbon dioxide emissions? Well, there's one thing that economists agree on, and we as lay people can see the sense of it. If the price of something goes up, then people are going to buy less of it. So probably the quickest and most effective way of reducing carbon dioxide emissions would be to make them more expensive. So how would we do that? Economists point to the idea of putting a fee on carbon fossil fuels. And that's what I'm going to start sketching out for us briefly here today. The shorthand is carbon fee and dividend, at least the shorthand for what I'm going to be talking about today. There are a number of strategies that have been proposed and some have been introduced in the real world in terms of putting a price on carbon. I'm going to talk specifically about a fee on carbon accompanied by a dividend. So let me just quote for a second here from a Nobel economist, William Nordhaus. And he says, there are billions of individuals, millions of firms, thousands of governments, hundreds of nations, and for them to take action, they're going to have incentives. We can raise the price of goods and services that are carbon intensive. That is, put a fee on fossil fuels. So pretty much any time somebody talks about a fee or a tax from the government, there's going to be immediate objections. I know I pretty much do that, so let's talk about the objections for starters here. We worry that the personal costs are going to be too high. Hey, you mean you're telling me I'm supposed to pay more for gasoline, heating oil, and those kind of things? And then those of us who are more inclined to think of others at the same time might think, well, the impact on low-income households is going to be unfair. And there are plenty of us who just mistrust government. They just want the money. Not whatever they say is just some kind of cover for getting more money to increase their power, et cetera, et cetera. And then finally, we could say, well, people are going to burn gasoline and heating oil and so on anyway, regardless of what the fee is, so it's not going to be effective. Now let's just talk for a second about our market-based economy, and it's given us a lot. There's no doubt about that. All one has to do is look as far as North and South Korea to know that a marketplace economy is superior to an authoritarian, centrally controlled economy. But that doesn't mean that the marketplace is perfect. Far from it. There's this notion of negative externalities or market failure, and that is a case where somebody who's profiting from an activity doesn't bear the full cost of that activity. And this is true in spades about the fossil fuel industry. What do I mean by that? Well, there's the big issue of climate change and all the billions of dollars that that's costing us, not right now, and will cost us into the future. And there's the individual costs, the costs in health-related issues and premature deaths. There's somewhere around 100,000 people a year die prematurely in the United States from fossil fuel pollution. And around the world, the number is in the millions. And by the way, that mostly impacts less well-off people. They're the folks that live close to industry and freeways and airports and other places that are high in carbon pollution. There's actually a term for this, and you can Google it. It's a Pigouvian tax. That is, it's a tax that's hidden. We're paying the costs as citizens and people who breathe the fossil fuel pollution, and it's a cost that the producers of that fossil fuel are not responsible for themselves. They profit, and we pay part of the cost of that profit. And a fee on carbon is intended to address that market failure. Now, there are just about as many proposals on what to do about the climate and fossil fuel emissions as there are people with opinions. So there are certainly other ideas behind besides a carbon fee. Research and development, simple regulations, etc. However, it's pretty clear, looked at from an economics and a political perspective, that putting a fee on carbon dioxide would be the quickest, fastest, most effective way of accomplishing a reduction in carbon dioxide pollution. So I'm going to quote here for a second from Nobel economist Paul Romer. He says, in part, "Start with a very low tax right away and commit to increase gradually but inexorably. Innovators will start investing now and stop investing in ways to extract more fossil fuels." So that's about the industry. And of course, we as individuals, as the price of something goes up, we're going to use less of it. We're going to turn to alternatives that'll be cheaper. And in this case, it would be clean energy. Now, there are several bills in Congress that are intended to put a fee on carbon. One of them is H.R. 763. It's basically my favorite, but there's plenty of good ideas out there, and I encourage you to go online and do a search for bills in Congress that put a fee on carbon emissions. So the H.R. 763, how does that work? Well, it starts off with an initial fee of $15 per ton of carbon dioxide, and I'll talk about what the impact of that would be on things like gasoline here in a second. And that fee rises $10 each year until we've reached a goal of 90% reduction of emissions. So it's kind of open-ended, but it is open-ended in a way that allows us to accomplish what it is we want to accomplish. One of the important things is that having this fee in a law that's predictable allows businesses to adjust and to innovate along the way in a thoughtful and orderly way rather than some kind of major crisis. And the reality is that we're political animals, and anything that we do politically has to take that into account. And if there were really some kind of abrupt change in the price of fossil fuels, there would be guaranteed to be political backlash. We're probably going to see that anyway, but the more abrupt it is, the more violent the backlash is going to be. So a gradual increase in the fee is probably the way to go. So just real quick here, why call it a fee? Why not call it a tax? Well, I'd say call it anything you want to. The point that is made by economists is that a fee is different from a tax. A fee is something that's return to individuals, or a service is provided to the individuals for that fee. A tax is something you send into the government, and that's just the end of it. They do whatever they want to with it. As we're going to talk later on, the dividend part of a carbon fee and dividend means that the monies are returned to us as individuals and families, and so technically speaking, it's not a tax. Now, one of my worries anytime the government decides to take on a project is, well, how efficient are they going to be? Well, this could be an opportunity for inefficiencies for sure. However, the proposal is that existing bureaucracies will be used to administer the fee. That would be through the IRS and the Treasury Department, and it doesn't involve any new bureaucracy at all. Another really significant question is, where is the fee applied? We're not going to chase down every consumer to put a tax on those individuals. So the idea is that the fee be applied upstream. That's where the fuel first enters the economy. So that would be at the wellhead, at the mine, wherever the fossil fuel is first introduced into the economy. Now, the eagle-eyed of you out there will be asking the question, yeah, but what about stuff that comes from outside the United States? We can't put a fee on those countries. Well, I'm going to talk about that. It's an important question, and it's called a border adjustment. It goes both ways, and I'll get back to that here in a bit. So another question that's legitimately raised is, what is going to be the impact on actual emissions? There's an organization called Regional Economic Marketing, Inc. It's a major firm. They do research for Congress and other organizations in terms of figuring out the economics of proposed legislation. The Citizens Climate Lobby contracted with them a few years ago to answer exactly that question. What's the impact of a fee on emissions? Well, their study showed that there would be a 33% decline in emissions after only 10 years and 52% after 20 years. Other studies show that we would have a 90% reduction in carbon emissions by 2050, which is the target. Now, it is true that all of this is going to require adjustments on us as citizens, voters, consumers. But the little secret is that climate change is going to require all of us to adjust. So we can choose what the adjustments are, or we can have them forced upon us. Back in the day, there was a commercial with a mechanic talking about maintenance and saying, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. That's the way it is with what we're looking at with the climate. We can pay controlled and reasonable prices now, or we can be hit with cataclysmic events, flooding and fires and hurricanes and so on, severer than what we've been accustomed to in the past. So impacts on individual houses. So here's what the estimates are for the first year of the carbon fee of $15 per ton, that gasoline will go up 15 cents a gallon, and natural gas will go up about 7%, and our electricity, and that would be all across the United States, would go up somewhere around 6, 7, 8%, maybe as high as 11%, depending on how much fossil fuel is used in producing the electricity in a given area. Here, where we're blessed to have hydropower, and I'm talking about in the city of Tacoma, we're probably not going to be impacted that much. The average household in the United States spends about $2,000 a year on energy, and this $15 a ton fee initially would add up to about a little over $200 a year, and the dividend, which I'll talk more about later on, would more than cover that. So the net result is that most households will be better off after the carbon fee and dividend than before. So that's about individual households. What about the economy? And further, not only ours, but the world economy. The news there actually is good too. A study was done recently by two scientists, Metcalf and Stack, and I should say economists, not scientists. They studied the impact of actual carbon fees in 31 European countries and found that there was no negative effect on GDP, and actually the effect on employment was slightly positive. So there are no significant downsides to the larger economies from having a carbon fee and dividend. So let's just review here for a second where we are on a fee. So the fee will significantly lower emissions, so it's effective. It's predictable, which means that firms can adjust over time, that R&D can kick in, and that we can do a transition to a cleaner energy source. There are other unexpected or unintended positive consequences, primarily that health is going to improve because of the reduced pollution. And evidence shows that economies will continue to grow with the fee, and that the dividend will be equitable. That is, that most households will be better off under the carbon fee and dividend scheme than before. So here's just one real world example. That's in the United Kingdom. They put an increasing tax on carbon in 2013, started off at $8 a ton, then in 2014, $16 a ton, and then 2015, up to $24 a ton. Coal use in the United Kingdom has fallen 90% in the time since, so it's been very effective in reducing their fossil fuel emissions. So let's talk briefly here about one of the other concerns about a carbon fee and dividend, and that is that the costs of the fee will be passed on directly to consumers. Consumers will have to bear the entire cost of it, and that polluters will be undeterred. Well, this is partially correct. Some of the costs will be passed on depending on what the position of the company is, what their market power is, and so on. But estimates are that somewhere anywhere between 25 and 75% of costs will be borne by the users, the industry, and not passed on to the consumers. And at the same time, really part of the costs do need to be passed on to consumers if this is going to be effective. consumers ultimately are going to have to change their behavior. And if their gasoline and their heating oil is not somewhat more expensive, then that behavior is probably not going to change. So that's it about the fee, the basis of a carbon fee and dividend. I'll talk about the dividend and how that would be managed and what it would mean to us as consumers and to the environment in general in a future broadcast, let's say next one. In the meantime, important for us to keep our eye on the ball. And what I mean by that is that if we don't change what we're doing, we're going to deal with some really extreme costs, adjustments, catastrophes, really. So taking an orderly approach through something like a carbon fee and a dividend is far more desirable, in my view, than the kind of cataclysms that we're going to be looking at downstream. So once again, I'd love to hear from you, especially if you disagree with something I've said or you got a hot idea that you'd like to put out there. Send me an email to john@cctacoma.org. So that's it for today. Once again, I'm reminding you, as always, live like the mountain's out. Take care.